Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Lift your hands and bless his name. Shebranda kaparatos kadiada. Indeed, he is here. Mighty God, shalaka parados sedebredegedebelekatos. Can you bless him in the spirit? He is here to heal, to deliver, to transform.
Yahweh, Yahweh, eh, 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 eh. Yahweh, Yahweh, eh, 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 eh. Yahweh, say
Yahweh, Yahweh,
eh, eh, eh.
Shabbalaka sopra.
Yahweh,
I like you to cry from the depth of your heart, Father, give me an encounter tonight. Give me an encounter tonight. Not tomorrow, not next week. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Someone full of faith is praying. Give me an encounter tonight. Give me an encounter tonight. Someone is praying.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory?
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty,
Lord mighty in battle.
Amen.
Amen. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty,
the Lord mighty in battle.
The Lord mighty in battle.
Amen.
For God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Lift your voice and prophesy to your destiny.
Amen. 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 Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. You're mighty in battle. Amen. You are that King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Father, tonight that you will do a quick work in our midst. Let the sick be healed. Let no oppression survive tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you will open up destinies like pages of a book tonight. In the name of Jesus. You will open up destinies like the pages of a book tonight. In the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus. And everything that does not name the name of Christ, it must give up over your life tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Please be seated. I want you to be very, very sensitive. God is already moving. God is already touching. God is already blessing, following from within this auditorium, all the overflows outside, and those who are connecting from around the world. May God bless you. This is our miracle service for the month of July. And we know that God will do us good. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Your life will so change tonight. You will know that you encountered His grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. I welcome everyone again in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Let me just honor two or three great people in our midst who are worthy of honor. Hallelujah. The first is a dear man of God all the way from Port Harcourt, Bishop Victor Uzosuke. God bless you, sir. Please, let's give him a big, big God bless you. Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have in our midst Senator Keopas Moses from Bielsa Central. See here. God bless you. Thank you so very much. And then a very special guest indeed in our midst, the Deputy CVN Governor, Mr. Edward Adamu and his dear wife and family. Let's honor them. May God bless you. Such an honor to have you around. Every other person is welcomed in the name of Jesus Christ. It is not only you I'm saying welcome to. I also say welcome to your breakthrough. Welcome to your favor. In the name of Jesus. You are not the only one who came to church. God also came. Angels are here and they did not come empty-handed. In the name of Jesus, everything that is not welcome tonight must live your life. Everything that is not welcome tonight must live your life. Please sit down. Let me teach you something for a few minutes before we begin to pray. You know, please let me have your attention now. Most times when prophetic words come like this, most believers think it's just a religious, maybe a man of God is just speaking. And then sometimes because the evidences don't show immediately, we are tempted to think and even believe that nothing happened. The word of God is very powerful. Are we together? We must be reminded once again of the supremacy of the word of God. The supremacy of the word of God. As we prepare to receive tonight, because this is a service that was designed by God to give us an opportunity to receive. When Jesus walked upon the earth, Matthew chapter 4, the Bible tells us that when he left John, after John baptized him, he was driven by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then the Bible lets us know from verse 2 that having prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Verse 3 says that Satan came to him, the tempter he called him, and the first temptation he said, "If thou be the Son of God," who is talking now? Satan. "Command that these stones be made bread." Now watch the answer and the approach of Jesus in dealing with Satan. There's a lesson for us to learn here. "And he answered and said, it is. That means it is written is greater than I saw. It is written is greater than I heard. The realm of the prophetic. It is written is greater than I saw. The realm of revelation. It is written is greater than I felt. The realm of feelings and emotions. You would think Jesus would have told Satan, are you crazy? You didn't see me praying and fasting. But he said, it is written. This is very powerful. The supremacy of God's word above and beyond the realm of the prophetic, above and beyond the realm of the apostolic, above and beyond the realm of the miraculous, above and beyond the realm of feelings. In fact, it is the word of God that gives these realms and dimensions their value. If you extract the word of God from the prophetic is just witchcraft. If you extract the word of God from revelation, revelation is just the empty boasting of men. If you extract the word of God from the realm of feelings, it's just emotional vacillations that will not lead anywhere. What gives credence to all these realms and all these dimensions, the healing, the miraculous, the prophetic, is the word of God. You have to understand this. Someone say it is written. Now, we all desire to walk in victory perpetually. The Bible says, now thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. And in preparing for tonight's miracle service, I took out time to study carefully and once again the ministry of Jesus. I really wanted to find out, as though I had never studied it before, how did Jesus address Satan? How did Jesus address the issue of failure? Because he's our pattern man, theologically speaking. Is that true? If we are to command sustainable victory, then we have to study not just how Paul approached it. These are mere men. Not just how the patriarchs of old. I want to see that Jesus walked upon the earth. So it is worthy of note and study to see how he approached Satan. And I came up with two things by the Spirit that will be my charge tonight. There are two principal ways that Jesus defeated Satan. Number one, after the temptation or during the temptation, in Matthew chapter 4, you read from verse 1 to 11. We may not have all the time, but please write for reference. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 1 to 11. This captures his entire discourse with Satan and his victory over Satan. Notice that the first way Jesus overcame Satan was by saying, it is written. Are we together? His confession of the word of God was the basis for his victory. And then the Bible says, when we read verse 10, please give us verse 10 and 11. 10 and 11, the last temptation. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, one last time, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. Verse 11. The Bible says, then the devil leaveth him. Why did the devil leave him? Not because he wanted to leave. He left him because the basis of his communication with Satan was saying, it is written. But the strange thing is, one of the synoptic accounts tells us that he left him for a season. That means it is written has power, but it is written alone will provide temporal solution. The most permanent way Jesus addressed Satan was not just saying it is written, but doing it is written. It was in his doing what was written that Satan was permanently defeated. Galatians chapter 3, please, and verse 13. When Jesus went to the cross and hung on the cross, he established by his death, his burial, and his resurrection the ultimate defeat of Satan and his cohorts. And he did not just die because he wanted to die on the cross. He died doing what was written. That this was the only way he could become a curse for us. The Bible says Christ, had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made, that means becoming, not just saying I am a curse, being made a curse for us, for it is written. That means he died and did what he did according to that which was written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14. It says that the blessing of Abraham, please get my teaching in Zaria, the seed of Abraham. I did a teaching on this, that the blessing of Abraham is justification by faith, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, Satan comes to Jesus at the first instance, and Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That provided a measure of victory, but he still came back again. This time around, Jesus did not just say it is written. He did it is written, and it brought permanent victory. Are we together? So there are two realms of establishing victory as we see in and through the life of Jesus. Number one is your confession of faith, which is according to that which is written. Not just according to that which you feel. Not just according to that which you think. We have established the fact that it is written is greater than feelings. It is written is greater than I saw, visionary experiences, greater than the prophetic I heard. In order of priority and supremacy, the word of God excels above all these realms. But there are many of us, our victory is limited because the only thing we do is to say it is written. And the Bible does not leave us in the dark as to the fact that saying it is written, that means dwelling only in the realm of your confession of faith, will produce for you a measure of victory. Three times Jesus said it is written, and Satan left him, but he left only to return. But when Jesus did it is written, the victory was permanent and established. It is written. In the name of Jesus, I am light, I am salt. It is written, in the name of Jesus, I am the head, I'm not the tail. In the name of Jesus, I am not poor. In the name of Jesus, I am great. That is wonderful. That is, you have already begun your journey to victory. But that, remaining in that realm alone, will eventually frustrate you. Imagine if Jesus just stood and said, in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Father, I have died for sinners. All sinners, you are coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. That would be wonderful. But to end there, till today, we would not be saved. That means it takes more than just saying what is written. Are we together? We must move past that realm to aligning our lives and then doing what is written. That is what establishes our victory perpetually. Most believers know how to speak well. And even psychologists will tell you that when you speak well, you are giving your mind, your subconscious, the tools that will create the physical expressions of your reality. So in any case, whether you are born again or not, speaking positively and speaking, releasing that positive energy has an advantage to your life. But victory in the kingdom is more than that. It starts with your speaking. But it must end with obedience, your doing. Please give us Hebrews chapter 4. Paul was giving us perspective as to the power of the word of God. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. The word that was preached was not wrong. The word that was preached was not impotent, and yet it did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That means they heard the word that was full of life and full of power, and yet because they did not mix it with faith, and you know what faith is by now, that faith is beyond professing the word of God. Faith has to do with your obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. Are we together? Many believers are unable to establish sustainable victory in their lives, not because the word of God is a lie, and not because Jesus Christ has lost his power and victory over Satan and circumstances, but we are unwilling to finish this faith equation and so give him room to manifest his power in his fullness. Because for many believers, we have not even gotten to the first realm of believing him enough to speak and declare. The Bible says the righteousness of faith speaks. The righteousness that is of faith speaks. But it does not just stop with confession. There are many, many people who make empty confessions. In the name of Jesus, I will not fail. And yet they do not find out the kingdom principles that are allotted for victory experientially. And so we continue to declare, in the name of Jesus, I am walking in favor. In the name of Jesus, I am walking in abundance. And that can get us a measure of victory and results. But then we refuse to find out the principles that we need to work with in keeping with the word of God as far as those areas of needs are concerned. And then we find out that our confessions almost become a mockery of our Christian experience because we are unable to establish victory. Hallelujah. So it starts with your faith. And your faith, from the abundance of your hearts, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. So don't get me wrong. Confession is a very important part because confession tells us what you believe. In fact, give us 1 John chapter 5, please, from verse 4 and 5. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm interested in verse 5. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That means not everybody is an overcomer. The overcomer is the one who believes. Not just anything and everything. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. But then in believing that he is the Son of God, you must also move past that realm and then obtain grace from God to walk in keeping and to do that which commits his integrity to your life. This is the area where many believers are missing it. Do you know, as I prayed preparing for this miracle service, the Spirit of God began to burden my heart again and again as to the fact that it is important for believers to understand the potency of the word, but more than the potency of the word, the dynamics of the operation of the word. Believers need to be taught afresh how the word works, the administration of the life and the power that comes through the word. Because now we're living in times, you know what is happening across the globe and even in our dear nation, challenges all everywhere. And for many people, their Christian experience is beginning to be frustrating because they are now experiencing things like lack and want and need to the point where their basic needs cannot be met again. Do you know, I've observed that in Africa and especially in Nigeria, we are very elastic. We have a strong ability to endure. So it will be difficult for people to give up on God just for, maybe because they don't have a job or their health, they can manage and still believe. But when it gets to a point where you lack food to eat, when your basic needs are affected, at that point, Satan would have made a statement that if care is not taken, can affect your Christian experience. I was listening very carefully to the testimony that I think a sister or brother gave, how that they were mocking her and saying, this church girl, this is not about church thing. It is about a spiritual thing, but not a church version. You understand what they're saying? There are many people who are already receiving invitations to return home. And you know what that means. To return home means to return to something that seemed to have produced a level and a kind of result. Let me tell you the truth. Heaven and earth will pass away. But believe me when I tell you the word of the Lord abides forever. Do you believe that? Who is he that overcometh? But he that believes in the Son of God. When you look at the global, you know, news around the globe, economically, politically, when you look at Nigeria, we've been challenged, especially in recent times, even within our city here, the FCT, unfortunately. And so the faith of many believers are being dampened. People are discouraged. People are asking, God, are you there? Are you alive? Do you not know that the value of light is when there is darkness? Are we together now? David would have no ministry if there were not Goliath. So all of these Goliaths moving around are giving the saints an opportunity to demonstrate once and again the all-surpassing power and intelligence that resides within this kingdom. I want you to find a way of believing this. Ecclesiastes, I believe it was verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, the thing that is the thing which, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. That means as far as the sequence of seasons and living is concerned, there is nothing that is new. If it is wars, it has happened. If it's terrorism, it has happened before. Are we together? If it's hatred and wickedness, it has happened before. If it's victory and triumph, it has happened before. As an individual, as an institution, as a nation, nations have been freed from tyranny through history. Nations have been under the bondage of tyranny through history and all sorts of things. He's saying that there is absolutely nothing new under the sun. That means when we are challenged with things that seem to be new in our life, he comforts us that they are not new before God. That this earth is old enough and it has captured within its space all kinds of things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that above them all, there were people who conquered those systems. This is a word of hope for us. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that the word of the Lord abides forever. But it does not mean that it will automatically work for you. This is what I want you to listen and understand. Most of us believe, I am a Christian, I am coming to church. That is wonderful. And yet the word of God does not seem to produce in our lives. Why is that so? Because number one, we have lost touch with our belief and our confession of faith. Jesus, our pattern man, is teaching us that over Satan, over negative situations and circumstances, your first port of call is to believe in the victory of Jesus and to confess and profess it with understanding. That in the name of Jesus, when men say there is a casting down, for me I declare that there will be a lifting up. Never outgrow confessing the word in truth. Do not see it and say this is something for children, except you don't believe the Bible. Satan comes to Jesus and he says, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. It is written. You shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. It is written. You will call on one person and a nation will respond to you. It is written. You have to listen. It is risky to build your life today in today's world on any other thing aside from that which is written. You are sitting on a time bomb. I'm building my destiny on my uncle's promise to me. That is dangerous. Your uncle is a man. I'm building my destiny on my many certificates. Congratulations. But believe me when I tell you, vanity upon vanity. Anything that is not the word of God does not sustain by itself the power to stand the test of time. Are we together? There are many who are building their faith and their conviction today on men of God. As wonderful as that sounds, that is dangerous and that is a risk. There are many who are building their faith and their conviction on the monies that they have in their bank account. It's one thing for your account to be fine, and it's another thing for the bank holding your account to be fine. Hallelujah. If you were alive in the days of Noah, whether you were an investor, whether you were a businessman, whether you were an excellent farmer, whether you were a professor, whether you were naive, that flood was going to carry every one of you. The only person who would survive was the one who got into that ark. Hallelujah. And every once and again, events happen in the earth where there are no alternatives except the word of God. That ark of safety you see is the word of God. It says to build the ark of gopher wood and let it have three stories. Anybody who was too proud or not discerning to enter that ark died with the flood. The heavens gave its rain, the earth gave its rain. Whoever was in between had to go. Plants, animals, everything. Do you know, I know that historically there are still arguments today whether the flood of Noah really happened. The Bible tells us that it happened, and so we believe. We've not experienced catastrophe on earth like that. If Nigeria has a problem, for instance, you can run to another nation where there is land, and then you can run somewhere and find safety. But what if the whole earth has water? What skyscraper will lift you above it? When the heavens sending its rain, the earth sending its rain, and the on earth, can you imagine? No nation was saved, only one ark. Who we see that overcometh, but he that believes that name of the Lord is a strong tower, that you can run into it like Noah ran with his sons to the ark, and that they are saved. Don't blame Noah. It was not his fault. He was obedient enough to not just say what was written, but to do. He built it for about 100 years, and history tells us they laughed at him, they mocked him to scorn. And then when the time had come, God himself closed the door and rain came and everyone died. I've told you that it was not the ark alone that protected them. If the whole earth is submerged with water, cold will kill you even if you are in the ark. I hope you know that. So entering the ark was not what protected them. The weather condition under that kind of condition, I mean, come on, you have basic knowledge of geography. The whole earth being cold, it will kill you. You will freeze right there. And yet they were preserved by the hand of the mighty one. I don't know about you, but as for me, I have made up my mind that for as long as I live, this becomes the basis for my living. I have explored a lot of other options, and I've seen how weak they are in the face of real life situations. The Bible says the word of God has been tried 7 times and it has survived. Please listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God for medical doctors. But we're living in times where even they themselves are confessing that they will keep doing their best, but they are limited. Thank God for architects, engineers, professors, and all of that. You're in Nigeria here. Our universities sadly have been closed for months. I don't know about you, but let me encourage you by the Spirit of grace that we are living in times that are not only perilous times, we are living in times where every believer needs to return back to the integrity of God's word. It is written, is the ancient pathway that many followed and navigated their way through the tides of life and destiny. You would think they will fail with it, and yet at the end of it, that ark will be standing. And the Bible says the ark rested on Mount Ararat. Hallelujah. There are people here tonight sick in their bodies. And most of them do not believe that God is able to heal. Most of them do not believe God is able to deliver. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Let me encourage you by the Spirit of grace. I want you to believe that miracles still happen. Find a way of convincing yourself. It is true. Find a way of believing that breakthroughs still happen. Find a way of believing that the Word of God still works. In spite of all the negative things that seem to mar our society, I'm speaking words of faith to your spirit. As you are seated listening to me, inside, outside, across the globe, I want you to believe that God is dependable. I want you to believe that the name of Jesus is truly a strong tower, that the righteous can come to it and they can find safety. Safety against all kinds of things. Hallelujah. This is the basis for the miracle service. It will be evil and unfair to gather thousands of people here and across the globe and just listening to a man communicate the philosophies of men or give you ideas that have not been tried. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is the fact that we only stand behind the integrity of this that is written, and we stake our lives. I can tell you the truth. The Word of God will work for you. It will not just work because you say it. It will work because you make a determination to obtain grace from God, to walk in keeping with the principles that commit that word to your life. If the Bible says, when men say there is a casting down for you, they will say there is a lifting up. Now you confess it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are we together? But then you find out what else should be done. What is the participatory role that you have to play in making that scripture right and true? If the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer, I will show you great and mighty things. If you want to see great and mighty things, you don't sit down and expect God to just reveal. You call unto him, because that is the condition. And to call unto him does not mean to be calling while you are distracted. You must give him dedicated attention. Lord, I am calling unto you. You have given me an assurance by your word that if I call unto you, you will answer. You will show me great and mighty things. Now I dedicate my time in fasting, in prayer. Let me hear you speak to me, and he will come. Hallelujah. The Bible says, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than is meet and tends to poverty. That means if you are withholding and you are greedy, it will be unwise for you to be surprised that you are poor. Are we together? Because the Bible already told you that if you withhold and you are not one who is a giver, you will be poor. And then if all you are doing is giving alone, giving money or resources, you will be surprised that you'll be having momentary testimonies, but it will not last, because giving is not the only key. Are we together? Seeth thou a man diligent in his business, the Bible says, he will not stand before mean men, he will stand before kings. You have been taught. So if you give alone and tithe alone, they all have their allocations. But if you are not valuable, you will stand before mean men. Is someone learning now? As a man of God, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. If there is shame all around your life and ministry, don't just say it's an attack. Go and find out. Have you risen to that point of spiritual competence where it will be just for God to send the nations to hear you? More than saying it is written, your heart must be inclined to doing it is written. Why do we pray for the sick? Because the word of God declares that we can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And that the healing ministry, listen very carefully, the healing ministry is part of God's, is part and parcel of the gospel. What salvation does to the spirit of a man, that's what healing does to his body. Every human being is given one body per lifetime. Medical science has not yet perfected the art of transferring a spirit into another body. So whatever plagues your physical body is a dimension of the administration of death to your life. Sickness is death asking for your attention. Are we together now?
Yes.
Why do we set people free from all kinds of oppressions? Because the Bible tells us that Satan is behind many and most of the evil that we see in our lives and our destinies. That we know that every time a man's destiny continues to capture negative occurrences, it is more than a sociological event, it's more than an economic issue. It is largely and almost always a spiritual issue. And that behind it are spirits. So he gave us authority over devils, snakes, scorpions. And so when we declare in the name of Jesus, all of the manifestations and the things that you see, those are just physical expressions. But the real thing happening in the realm of the spirit is that we are placing a demand because God said to do it. Now we do it with faith. Hallelujah. And every devil of hell gives way. And people begin to return with testimonies. Now look what God has done in my life. Like it will happen to you this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. Apostle, I'm tired of my condition. Open the Bible and find out who was tired of his condition and what he did about it. An example of someone who was tired of his condition was the man Jabez. The Bible says the mother bore him in sorrow and she named him Jabez. He would have sat down there saying, one day go better, and he would have gotten old and died. And it would have been that God cannot save men. But Jabez said, like someone must say tonight, oh, that thou would bless me. In other words, Lord, I'm tired. It's not my fault to give birth to me in sorrow and curse me as a result. I don't blame my mother. I will not hate her. But destiny, you must change. And he cried unto God. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And the Bible says God heard him. God still hears, oh. God still hears. Hallelujah. How about people who were poor and were tired of poverty? Go and read your Bible. To the extent that one of the wives of the, you know, the sons of the prophet that had died, they were going to carry her children, and she ran to the prophet. That means when you are in debt, the first place you should run to is not the bank. Read your Bible. It's not just the bank. The first place you should run to is any vessel that represents the prophetic, the voice of God. It was when she met the prophet, and the prophet said, what do you have in your house? She said, nothing except a little cruse of oil. The blessing really did not just come from the man. Are we together now? The blessing was already in her house, but she needed the prophetic to activate it. The oil would not multiply, but it had potential to multiply. The same way the loan you collected in the bank can help you, but without prophetic blessing, the devil will still use it and multiply your debt. What you first need is a prophetic word, so that whatever you now do is empowered by prophecy. Apostle, I'm struggling with sickness. My body, it looks like my body is responding somehow. Go to that which is written. Open your Bible. Find out. There were sick people in the Bible who were healed. What did they do? The things that are written aforetime, they are for our learning, so that we, through the patience and the comfort of scripture, may find hope. That means the first port of call, every time you see anything in your life that is not favorable, go straight to it is written. Not I saw, not I thought. I saw can deceive you. You may have a vision that will keep confusing you for years. Leave that vision and go to it is written. You have not yet verified your vision, but it is written has been verified. Many people's destinies have gone haywire because of I saw. Many people's destinies have gone haywire because of I heard. Nobody's destiny goes wrong when it is written. Listen very carefully. Some of you, as you are listening, you will find out that healings and miracles are already happening. Listen, I walk in the prophetic by the grace of God. God has granted me revelation, but can I tell you, I have learned by experience and by the word, it is a risk to leave your destiny at the mercy of I saw. It is a risk to leave your destiny at the mercy of I. Do you know how many people saw me already dead many years before now? genuine prophets. They saw, but it is written, vetoed it. If you live by I saw, you live by I heard, you live by I felt, you will be a victim of situations and circumstances. I've had many revelations that relate to this ministry and this work, but the greatest basis for what we are doing, ladies and gentlemen, is not what I saw, not even my encounter with Jesus. That which is written is greater than my visions. So that even when I later discover my visions were wrong, I still find consolation because they were not the basis for my action. I only trust my vision if it is consistent with what is written. Are you learning now? Yeah. Why did you come here tonight? To change what you saw to look like what is written. Why did you come here tonight? To change what you heard, or what you are hearing, to what is written. Apostle, I have seen that there is a growth in my stomach. It is our assignment to midwife that process, that converts every negative thing you have seen, you have heard, you have felt, to what is written. If that happens, our assignment is done. Oh, Apostle, I see that economically things are going down. Financially, they are going down. I agree, based on what we saw. But the believer is not just one who walks with what he sees or what he hears. Do you not believe the Bible again? Let God be true and all men. The Bible says, God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in time past through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, the Word, whom he had appointed to be heir over all things.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
There used to be an old song we used to sing. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Very powerful song.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Please hear me. If you ever see any sick person stand here healed, it is not just because Joshua Selman is powerful. It's because by the privilege of God's grace and partnership with the Word and the Spirit, he has taught us the art of converting the things that are seen and the things that are heard and the things that are felt to become the thing that is written. This is the mastery of a minister. You are as powerful to the degree to which you can change in the lives of people the things they are seeing, the things they are hearing, the things they are feeling, to become what is written. When you pay that price with the Spirit, he can now trust you with the destinies of nations, because indeed you will be a blessing.
My God is able to do just what he says he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
Here's someone's word.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He said, Oh, he's able.
Luke chapter 1 from verse 34. Shalibaka proskeni mahashiata. The angel speaks to Mary now. Luke 1:34, please help us. And he said to Mary, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? How shall my healing happen now, seeing that it has defied medical explanation? Verse 35, he says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 45. It says, and blessed is she that believed. Not just she that heard. For there shall be a performance. For who? The person who believes. It's more than just hearing. It's more than just agreeing. The performance is not just for the believer in terms of I heard, I agree. But one who believes and takes the action. If we say in the name of Jesus, lay your hands where you are feeling all the trouble and the pain, and you don't. Number one, even if you agree and believe in Jesus and believe in me, chances are excellent you might not be healed. If we say check yourself, and the moment you find out the power of God has touched you, come, and you feel you are healed, and yet you keep quiet. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She felt within herself that the fountain of blood had dried up, and she didn't keep quiet. Jesus said, who touched me? And the woman came. Saying it is written will bring you a measure of results, victory, but doing, and more importantly, living by it is written, is the secret for perpetual victory. Regardless the government in power, regardless the economic tide, regardless the time and the dispensation, because the Bible says that should be Colossians, am I right? 1 and verse 16. Please give it to us. Let's see how exalted the word of God is. It says, for by him were all things created, the him being the word, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things, including your healing, all things, including open doors, all things. I believe with all my heart that I will never have a better yesterday. It is not my agreement with God, not from my personal walk with God, not from scripture. Where then would that come from? I believe, what I believe is that which is written, that the path of the just. Now the question is whether I am the just or not. If I am not the just, then he was not talking to me. But if I am the just, the Bible says that my path will be as a shining light that shines more and more. As childlike as this truth is, you wave it away and see how your life will oscillate and vacillate from light to darkness and darkness back to light. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. This is the secret to the lifting. This is the secret to being exalted above the nations of the earth. That it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, it says, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So I believe it. I can't expect the blessings to come if I do not hearken. Hallelujah. There are many of us who are expecting things in our lives that our obedience have not purchased for us. I expect healing based on what? I expect influence based on what? Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at 6 and 7. For some of you here who the devil is lying to you that you will never rise, you will never be great, the nations will not hear your voice. The devil is a liar. It says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Is that in your Bible? And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, it says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations. What is the covenant? To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. In politics, there's what we call Godfather. That means the person who backs you, the person whose voice can help and lead you. When you knock on a door politically, they ask you, by whose, on whose stance are you coming here? God is saying, I will be a God to thee. That means any door you knock and the door tries to speak, keep quiet. The one sent, who sent you, your obedience just gives him the room to answer. You knock on the door of favor, and favor says, I have never opened for anyone in this lineage. And the one who sent you says, now you have to open, because the King of Glory is the one who defends him. We make our boast in the Lord. It's a risk to make our boast based on intellectual knowledge alone or based on human connections, as important as they are. They are only powered because above and beyond them, we stand on this truth that that which is written is greater than I saw, I heard, I felt. Do not forget this message. So when you see all kinds of things, killings and whatever it is true that your eyes is seeing all this, but for you, you maintain your confession of faith. In the name of Jesus, we declare that Abuja is safe. In the name of Jesus, we declare that there's victory in Nigeria. In the name of Jesus, we declare that light, the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. You see, that is your own contribution to the victory. Folding your arms and waiting, for instance, for the Nigerian army to suddenly announce to you that total victory has come is irresponsibility. Every believer in Christ has a potent role, a spiritual role that has a physical expression in keeping our borders safe. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Then he says, they shall prosper who love you. Are we learning? But as for tonight, I welcome you to this adventure that turns what you have seen that is not consistent with what is written, what you have heard that is not consistent with what is written. In fact, some of you are holding what was written, but my question is, written by who? Because there are many people who are writing. With all due respect, doctors write. Failure to write, it has a biro. It can write. The devil is the one who writes the most. Writing and his canvas is the life and the destiny of people. But there is one who can write. It does not matter what was written before him. When he writes, that is the end of it. So the sickness that you are feeling, you can choose to believe the feeling more than that which is written, and it will remain so. The negative event around your life and family, you can choose to believe what you are seeing above and beyond that which is written, and sadly it will remain so. But the miracle service tonight, your own responsibility is to say, Father, I know what I have seen, I know what I have heard, I know what I'm feeling, but I came to church tonight as a sign that I believe that you have the power to turn what I have seen, to turn what I'm seeing in my family, what I have heard, to become what is written. Is someone a believer? So, like the precious lady who gave her testimony, having breathing problems, palpitations in her heart, that is what she's feeling. And let me tell you the truth, that thing you see there is real because she's feeling it. However, there is a technology in the spirit where what is written can superimpose what you are feeling. This is what it means by casting down every imagination, from the Greek word yetzar, and bringing every knowledge, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. We are going to do a very quick walk tonight. Very, very quick walk tonight. As soon as we arise to pray, may I please request that the ushers and all who support them to begin to collect the prayer request. By the way, I hope you believe in what God is doing with the prayer request here. If you are here and you're new, I want you to believe. This is not some superstitious things. We have to explain these things because, you know, somehow believers can abuse a lot of things. Your prayer request written by you is the most accurate communication of your desire and your expectation. The Bible says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, it says, believe that thou receivest it and thou shalt have it. Jesus was speaking and he said, hitherto you have not asked for anything. It says, ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Ask and you will receive, to the end that your joy may be full. The God we serve answers prayers. It's true. So as you write, make sure you are not just writing it as a ritual. I want you to write it. This health situation, this financial situation, this issue of my stubborn son. I have no covenant with God that my womb will give birth to an armed robber. He may be stealing around, but write it. In the name of Jesus, so-and-so is turning from an armed robber to a saint. Are we together? You are a man, you are a father, and you are unable to take care of your family. You write it down. Because the Bible says, any man who cannot cater for his family has denied the faith and is even worse than an infidel. Lord, I am not an infidel. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That means the wisdom and the empowerment to take care of my family, I came here to receive tonight. Most people don't know what to write. I can tell you with all due respect, when we check many people's prayer requests, it's largely nonsense that is written there. Petty, childish things that does not even deserve any spiritual attention. Write serious things that connect to destiny. Are we together now? Yes. Please write. When we bring it to the altar here, we agree by faith. And whilst declarations come, you believe by faith. Now, no matter how much I may want to prophesy to everyone, we are limited first in knowledge and then the limitation of time. And so not everybody may have the privilege of any personal prophecy. Sometimes maybe nobody. The most important thing is for you to know, listen carefully, that in an atmosphere where there is faith, in an atmosphere that allows the move of the Spirit, anything is possible. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hands, impossible becomes possible. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hand, impossible becomes possible. May I request, if you are going through any financial challenge in your life, please write it. I know there are financial situations that require wisdom, value, dedication, relationships, all of that I understand. But there is an advantage that we have in this kingdom. There is the prophetic dimension to the activation of God's power and blessings, even as regards finance. And we are living in times right now where we need that dimension of God's grace at work. I vowed a vow to God that I will never lead a people who are just spiritually vibrant and yet not doing well economically. Do you know why? Because a lot in our life and our civilization depends on economic empowerment. There's no point hiding it. There's nothing to shy away about. Imagine that as I'm standing right here, I'm suffering financially and things are not going well, and I start passing a basket to you and say, drop something while I'm preaching. Don't even ask me anything. Just drop it first. You see, that would be a compromise on integrity, and it's based on hunger. We have shared here, according to Genesis 42 from verse 1 and 2, that the only reason why Israel goes to Egypt is hunger. When Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, he told his sons, why do ye look upon one another? Verse 2, he says, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. The problem is not corn, the problem is the location. Get you down thither, he says, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. When the devil wants to destroy your spiritual life, one of the ways that he destroys your spiritual life is to attack your finances and then to make sure that the only place you find corn is in a place where Jesus Christ is not glorified. You can fight and say, I'm not going there. But when hunger gets to you, by yourself, you will go down to Egypt. Someone shout, God forbid. I truly believe in the empowerment of the saints, even the economic empowerment of the saints. Apostle Paul, when many people are blessed, they leave the Lord. That means those guys are going to run away from heaven. Because heaven is a place that is an epitome of the blessings of God. It is not the abundance of resources or the absence of resources that cause people to leave God. It is the state of their heart. Are we together now? A person who becomes wicked when he's blessed was wicked before he was blessed. The wickedness did not just have the empowerment to find expression. A person who is a giver when he's blessed was already a giver before he was blessed. The empowerment financially only gave room for what was in his heart to find expression. Do not reject the blessing of the Lord. That is the reason why there's so much decadence in our world today. There are many people going back to things that they were already free from because of hunger. There are parents today whose children come with money. They know they are not working. They know they are not in any business, and yet they bring money to the millions, and the parents know that most likely where that money came from was a wrong source, but they do not have the courage to challenge the children because they need the money. Sadly, there are even those who have encouraged their children subliminally to go and delve into all kinds of relationships and all kinds of things because of hunger. Hallelujah. So God is going to do a quick work in our lives tonight. We're going to trust God to bring healing. Healing. I truly believe that sickness is of the devil. Do not forbear with sickness. Do not give excuses around it. Believe in the name of the Lord and stand strong and let him touch you. And as soon as I begin to pray for people, the power of God will come upon you. And listen very carefully. I want you to believe that you are healed, and you check yourself. The moment you find out that you are healed, I'm going to be giving a few people an opportunity to come out here and to stand, and we'll take a few testimonies. We're working with time very closely tonight. And then if you need to see our medical people, they're outside of this auditorium for any medical verifications, please go ahead. We don't announce fake miracles here. We don't have time for any nonsense. We only announce things that have worked. Hallelujah. We fear God and we're serious people. And we are also responsible people. Praise the name of the Lord. No playing games. No wasting God's people's time. It is an insult as far as I am concerned. It is an insult to God, to you, and even to me to fake miracles. It truly is an insult. Why fake what can be real? Hallelujah.
I will praise the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. I will worship him and give the praise to him alone. He who was and is to come, I will sing before his throne forever, forever. All the angels sing and they bow down, and they cry, holy, holy, we are sons and daughters, we praise you now, and we cry, holy,
yes we cry.
I will praise the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne.
I will worship him.
I will worship him and give the praise to him alone.
He who was and is,
he who was and is to come.
Hallelujah. I will sing before your throne forever.
I just feel stirred in my heart to just do the altar call right now before I begin to minister to the sick. You are here and you need Jesus. On hearing this word, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Our worship team sang so powerfully here that Jesus is the answer. You may be tempted to say, to what question? The question of death, the question of defeat, the question of a life that is full of ups and downs, the question of eternal damnation. If you ever ask any of these questions, the answer is not a thing. The answer is not an object. The answer is not philosophy. The answer is a person, the very Son of the living God. There are people seated here within this auditorium, all of the overflows down to the basement and then outside, and many who are following online, and they are saying, Apostle, while I heard you pray, I heard you teach, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me that I need to, number one, make this decision for Jesus sincerely. Or I need to, number two, rededicate my life, that as things are right now, I cannot say for sure that I am a Christian. Apostle, I think I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure. You are not. You can come and make it right, and you can know for certain that you have met Jesus. Without wasting time, I believe and I presume that the Holy Spirit must have spoken to you. I'm going to make the altar call. What is an altar call? It's a call to repentance. It's a call to surrender. It's a call to brokenness. It's a call. It's a handover service. You are telling Jesus, I am not ashamed of you before men. I desire you and I need you. Like the flowers need the sun and the rain. So I will count 1 to 5. Wherever you are within this auditorium, around the balcony, may I request that you please rush and stand here in front so that I'll lead you to Jesus. And then if you're in any of the overflows and you're not able to make it here, please move to the front of your auditorium. Same with those outside, those following from your homes and so on and so forth. I want you to be ready and be willing to make this prayer. Can we celebrate them as they come? One.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do the things that you do. Set our hearts.
Please come. Let's celebrate them as they come. Come to Jesus. It is the one major encounter you need tonight.
We need a
move. Apostle, but I've come out for altar calls so many times. Are you changed? If you are not, come out. Come and join them. You can come out and encounter the God of the Bible. It's not coming out that changes you. It's the genuineness of the brokenness and the repentance that changes you. Even if you come out for an altar call a million times and you do not mean it and you don't pray the prayer of salvation based on the integrity of Scripture, you are not saved. We're still giving you 1 minute. Please come very quickly. God bless you. Koinonia, is this how you celebrate salvation? Come. Leave your friend, leave your family members, come to Jesus. Apostle, I'm an elderly person. Can I join them? Absolutely. I'm a little child. Can I join them? You're most welcome. Those who are coming from the overflows or the balconies, please let them come. Let's celebrate them as they come.
Your life must change. Your life must change.
Your life must change.
Your life must change.
Your life must change.
Your life must change.
Your life must change.
You will never be the same. Touch your friends.
Your life must change.
Thank you for making this bold decision. For those of you who are in front of me, and then those who are by their LED screens, and those who are following.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to mixella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate you.